Welcome to Fat Grandpa. It's a lifestyle. Our topics will cover the latter part of life and how to get the best out of these years. Here's your host, Fat Grandpa.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, my guest is Kip Adoy, singer, songwriter, musician, and funny guy. But more importantly, he has a 45-year-old daughter who contracted spinal meningitis at the age of 2 weeks old. And then today, or as of today, she's 45 years old. So, and we'll be talking a lot about that. But welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good afternoon, whatever time it is.
You know, I got to bring up, you're a singer, songwriter, musician, funny guy. And I got about 220 people that can attest to that. We had my wife's 60th birthday party last night. And you put a lot of smiles on a lot of people's faces.
Well, that was fun. A great birthday party.
Well, thank you. And you were a big part of that. And thanks for coming to the beautiful Streeter, Illinois.
So. We drove all the way from Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
That's awesome. So we're going to get – the main thing is I want to talk about your daughter and raising a daughter. You had her at 24 years old. But we're going to start out with, like, where did you go to school when you were a kid, grade school?
Well, I was born and raised in Mount Pleasant, Texas, which is northeast Texas. And I went to school there from the first grade all the way till my sophomore year in high school, and I got kicked out of school for I needed a haircut because my hair was touching the top of my ears. It's all the Beatles' fault, you know. They started this whole mess. That's why I'm where I'm at.
I thought only girls liked the Beatles.
That's when I would watch them on Ed Sullivan and watch all those girls screaming. I went, that's what I want to do.
So when did you start playing music? When did you?
Well, I saw the Beatles when they first came out, and then I trolled around trying to get a guitar and finally got one. I still have my first guitar, which I still can't play. It's that bad, the action on it and the sound, it's terrible, but I still have it. And then I graduated onto a better guitar. My best friend would go to guitar lessons once a week, and he'd come to my house and teach me what he learned. So that's how I learned how to play secondhand.
So when you got to high or even in grade school, did you, like, when was your first gig?
I played a birthday party in a gal's backyard that I went to school with, and we were like in the sixth grade. We did a backyard party.
Wow. And how'd that go?
It was fun. Well, we were terrible. Of course, I'm still terrible. So
when you say we, how many?
Oh, I had a drummer and the guitar player that was teaching me how to play. We had a little three-piece, and we were playing Beatles songs and stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was my first job, yeah.
So your music in high school, what'd you do in high school?
Well, when I got kicked out of high school, I got moved to my sister. I moved in with my sister and brother-in-law. He was in the Air Force. And so I lived on an Air Force base, and I wasn't there 2 weeks before I got a speeding ticket on my bicycle.
You're serious?
Oh, I'm serious. I got hit my brother-in-law in trouble for that. So I went right from there to getting into more trouble. But then when I got into high school there, the high school situation there was much more friendly. And I went from being an F student on my way to reform school to being the president of the class and editor of the yearbook and making good grades, because it was just a
– So you went from Texas to California.
Right.
So you were dumb in Texas and smart in California.
Yeah, I suppose that's right.
I've heard you say that you wrote a really good song. It's called Rock Springs
– To Cheyenne.
And how old were you when you wrote that?
Oh, 17.
17 years old. And it's a very good song, and I'm going to try to – clip it to this podcast and people can listen to it that haven't heard you before.
It's on the internet. It's been recorded by a bunch of different people. I wish somebody would get a big hit with it so I could retire.
But yeah.
So far,
you're too old to retire.
Yeah.
No. So when you say a bunch of people recorded it, who are some of the people?
Well, Kenny Bradbury and the Quay County Band. These are Wyoming area bands. The most recently, well, it was recorded by Chris Ledoux's band, Western Underground. They recorded it. And then Mickey and the Motor Cars, the most recent one, and they got it put into a movie. And the movie's called Soda Springs, which is a family-type movie. And that song's in there, so I keep checking my mailbox for royalty checks, but hadn't showed up yet. So. I got $12 check somewhere out there.
Well, your address on your business card says Anger Management P.O. Box, so maybe you better check there in Jackson, Wyoming. Yeah. So, when did you start getting paid to play music?
Oh, when I turned 19, I was in Pocatello.
Where's that?
It's in Idaho.
Idaho.
And I moved there to help paint houses. My big brother had a painting contract business, and I didn't like that. I worked there for a couple of weeks and painting houses, and it was boring. And the first paycheck, I went into this little bar in Pocatello, walked in and sat down, and this big cowboy behind the bar and me and one other guy sitting at the bar. And I said, "You ever have live music in here?" And he goes, "Well, I just bought this place 2 weeks ago. Why do you play?" And I said, "Well, a little." He said, "Bring in your guitar." So I went to the car and brought my guitar in. I played two songs. He goes, "You start tomorrow, $20 a night and all you can drink." And I'm thinking, I can come out on this. So that's how I learned how to drink and started making money and tips and meeting college girls. And so I was off to the rodeo then. Woohoo!
So the first time I seen you was in Arizona, and it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And yeah, you like to drink.
A lot,
yeah, and you haven't drank in 6-7 weeks because you're on a medication now, I believe.
Or? Yeah, I made the fatal mistake of going to see a doctor.
Yeah,
and you know they're going to look around till they find something wrong. And by golly, he worked at it hard enough and did. And then he puts me on this med and he goes, "Oh, by the way, you can't drink alcohol on this."
Yeah.
And I went, "Wait a minute."
And it was a big part. So in your early 20s, then this you were 19. Your first gig, $20, all you can drink. What comes next?
Well, we ended up putting a band together. A friend of mine down in Texas, a great little guitar player, he came up and joined me. We had a duo, and then next thing you know, we had a drummer and a bass player. Then we started traveling. We went to Wisconsin and anywhere they'd put up, California, played the Bay Area a couple times, anywhere they'd put up with us. So we traveled around for a while doing that, losing money. So that was a lot of fun, though.
So when did your mom kick you out of the house?
Oh, I was out of the house by the time I was 17. And I've been sleeping in the car ever since then. I like it. I'm good at it.
You are good at it. So you had your daughter, Jessica. You were 24 years old.
I got a job offer. I was working in Pocatello, and this really good musician came in one night and said, "Hey, I got a job in Sun Valley, Idaho, and I can't play it. Can you go do it for me?" And I went, "Sure." And where's Sun Valley? Well, being the dumb
kind of like
I was,
Streeter, yeah.
Yeah,
Streeter.
Well, Sun Valley is like one of the most famous ski resorts in the world.
All right.
So I get there. I've never seen a ski resort, and as it turned out, the bar owner really liked us, so he hired us for the whole winter, and we stayed there for the whole winter, and that's where I met my ex-wife. She was a waitress, and we got married. Her dad was a golf pro at Sun Valley Golf Course and the head of ski school, assistant head of ski school, and I married her, and we had our daughter a couple of years later, And she contracted spinal meningitis when she was 2 weeks old.
And what is?
Well, it's a virus. You can get it from somebody sneezing around you or coughing. I mean, it's like any kind of virus. But we don't know how she got it.
Can people of our age get it?
Oh, yeah.
It's not just something that child or whatever?
Yeah, it's a virus. And it's mostly younger people. And it can be deadly. Matter of fact, when we got the original prognosis on my daughter, the doctor said she would be blind by the time she was 9, and she would not live to be past 16. And because of the Shriners Children's Hospital, she's 45 and wearing glasses. So, yay for the Shriners. They did an amazing job.
I know the name Shriners, but what do they do in general? They take on children, or they?
Well, they build children's hospitals.
So how do you and your wife was how old then?
Well, she's a couple of years younger than me.
So she was 13?
Yeah.
So how do you where do you go? I mean, what happens when you hear that? You know, you're all excited, and not that you're not excited now, and your daughter's beautiful. I'm going to attach some pictures of her and that. But, I mean, a young man that's living by the seat of his pants, playing music. How do you?
Well, it's a tremendous amount. I mean, now, even more so, it's a full-time job taking care of her. You know, she's in a wheelchair. And she can't walk, can't toilet herself. I have to feed her. But she does communicate. She talks a lot. And she loves
She smiles a lot when she's with
boy.
You.
I kidnap her every chance I got.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, the reason I had you on the podcast is because of your daughter, not because of your music, because your music ain't that good.
Yeah, right? I agree.
So no.
I don't listen to it, but I don't care.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it. You don't eat the food you cook. I know that. But so I want to hear more about you take her all over the country. So I watched you set up last night and tear down today. You're a one-man show. And it's a little bit of work. So where's your daughter during this time? Do you take her in the facility or?
Oh, sure. Yeah. She goes everywhere I go. I've got a big handicapped van with a wheelchair lift on it. That's her rig. And when she travels with me, we usually travel in that vehicle because it's just easier to haul her around. When I've got a big motor coach and I have to pick her up and carry her in and out of there and put her wheelchair in a trailer, which is a lot more work for me, but it's comfortable for her because it's got a big TV in there and she's real comfortable. But yeah, when I'm working, she goes to the shows. I mean, she was just with me for a month. I kidnap her every chance I get.
And so when you say kidnap, is she in a home or with your ex-wife? Or?
No, she's in with two friends of mine who are licensed by the state of Wyoming, and they've been taking care of special needs kids for 30-something years. And when they asked me, they came to me and said, we want your daughter to be one of our clients. We just love her to death. She was in a big group facility at that time. So this was a better move to put her in with a home with two other girls about her age. And since then, the last few years, she's the only client they have. They just have her in their house and they take wonderful care of her. And they got a place for me to sleep right in her room when I go there.
Oh,
I'll fold out the couch and
How far away do you live from your daughter?
Jackson Hole's about 6 hours, 7 hours from Gillette. I'm doing the math on that, 6 hours or so from Gillette. She stays in Gillette when she's not with me.
So what'll be your next trip that your daughter will go on? Do you have anything
planned? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm heading there tomorrow, and I will get her, and then we're going to Boise, Idaho for the famous Motel Cowboy reunion.
I've seen the flyer. It looks pretty interesting.
Oh, it's 3 days of nonstop great music. I'm the worst guy there.
Really?
There's actually some good stuff there.
I a lot of your stuff's on YouTube if people want to look it up. I'm going to link some stuff to the podcast and that, And you are very talented, and you are. I've seen you a couple times now, and you're a good guy. You got a good personality, and what you're doing with your daughter is extra special. So how is it different from when she was, say, 5 years old versus now? I mean, what the challenge of it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, she was a lot smaller and easy to move around. Now I'm getting older, and she's as big as she's going to get.
Right.
And, it's just harder to pick her up and move her around and stuff. Back then, I'd pick her up with one hand and move her. But it's all good.
But you're more of a friend now. I mean, also, besides your daughter, it seems like the pictures you show me, you were in a Jaguar or something?
Yeah.
The picture you just showed and stuff like that that really makes her smile, you know, and that. So what is your daughter like to do for fun? I mean, is it TV, listen to music?
Well, she watches, she loves The Price is Right. I have to watch that with her every morning.
Oh, she
morning
come over with my wife.
She loves The Price is Right. But other than that, she just watches. She likes to watch the Food Channel, oddly enough.
Oh,
she
is my wife.
Hallmark.
Yeah, so. Same thing. So, no, I that's just, you know what? You're a special guy. You're a good guy. You were fantastic last night. But I've listened to a lot of I've listened to your songs and that, but I want to talk about, like you've mentioned, Merle Haggard. So what did you say about Merle Haggard?
Oh, I've worked with him a couple of times. When my band, we entered the Marlboro National Talent Search back in the day when Marlboro was doing these things, and we took my band all the way to California, and we got first place, and the first place prize was you got $5,000 and you got to open the show at the Oakland Coliseum for a big concert. And it was Ricky Skaggs. It was us, the opening act. And then Ricky Skaggs and Merle Haggard and then Hank Williams Jr. And
What year would that have been?
Oh, let's see. I couldn't even tell you. I'd have to think about that for a minute.
But I mean, 30 years ago, 40 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you got 5,000
was smoke
pretty
cigarettes.
Good. Yeah. 5,000 was a pretty good chunk of money, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and right. I still got the big check that they gave me framed in my bar. So
did you get anything else like that because of the Marlboro thing that you won?
Oh, yeah. We got discovered, briefly, where people were hiring us to play all over. And back then, we had an old tour bus, and we were driving all over the place. We'd play anywhere they'd put up with, Colorado, Texas.
You said discovered, and to me, that's interesting because I've been to Nashville, and I've seen you, and I like to compare it to maybe a Major League Baseball player. I think a lot of it's being in the right place at the right time because, you know, you're very talented. I've seen people in Nashville that are very talented, and you told me they just – they don't really get paid to play in them bars. It's more of the glory of saying you played there than it is the money or whatever. So what – am I right in what I'm saying? And why have you – you wrote a great song. You've dealt with a lot of people. Why aren't you to that level? I'm not saying that you're – I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, but, like you said, it's the right place, right time, meeting the right person that can do things. And I've had a couple of close calls that – almost panned out.
But. Well, you said you had a song. That song you wrote was in a movie. I mean, you've been in the same arena with Merle Haggard and stuff like that. You know, and that usually kind of, you know, that's like a comedian going to the Johnny Carson show, kind of. You know, and once they do that, and they, boom, it goes to the next level. But you seem very talented for underachieving. I guess I'll call it.
Well. It's, you know, I've had some pretty fun. Well, I was the first person to ever record the song Trashy Women. You've heard that song.
I have heard that.
And
so what do you mean the first one to ever record it? So did you write it?
A friend of mine wrote it. And
so who's getting all the money from that?
Well, he would, except he passed away.
Oh, so then where's it go? Just out in cloud or what?
Well, no, I'm sure if somebody in his family's getting that check.
So you got nothing out of that?
No, but I got to get him a big hit because I was friends with Jerry Jeff Walker. You know who that guy is?
I do know the name.
Mr. Bojangles. I mean, yeah. He wrote Mr. Anyway, he hung around Sun Valley. When I was living in Sun Valley, he was coming there, and we got to be buddies. He would come in the bar where I was playing and hop up my band and play. And so I had this really neat guitar that he really liked. He would come in and play, and he goes, I want you to sell. So one night, I had the cutest girl in Sun Valley on a date at my house, and I'm cooking lobster tails. And there's a knock on the door, and I'm just about to serve her dinner. I'm trying to impress her. And there's a knock on the door, and they open the door, and it's Jerry Jeff Walker. And he's in town. He goes, hey, you still got that guitar?
Oh, I said, thought he was going to ask if his girlfriend was there.
No. And I said, sure. I said, come in. So he goes, oh, you're about to have dinner. I don't want to interrupt your dinner. I said, that's okay. Let me show you the guitar. And I went and got it. And he goes, how about you guys have dinner and I'll sit in the corner and play music for you? I'm going, you got to be. I'm trying to act like this happens every night. Of course, the girl was quite impressed. And so after I sold him the guitar, and I still have the check framed after I cashed it, I made a copy of it. But I was playing in Jackson Hole, and he shows up in Jackson to do a concert. He wanted me to be the opening act. You know, when you go to a good concert, they always have somebody crappy playing first.
Well, the local.
That's usually what I do. I'm the crappy opening act. And so I open the show, and after the show, he goes, hey, that Trashy Women song, did you write that? I said, a friend did. He said, well, would you teach it to me? I said, sure. So I did, and about 6 months later, he calls me on the telephone because cell phones were not invented yet. And he said, I'm going to be on the Tonight Show tonight with Johnny Carson. That's how long ago it was. He says, I'm going to be on with Johnny Carson. I'm going to sing Trashy Women. I said, well, that's just too cool. So I call the guy that wrote the song. I go, hey, promise me you'll watch the Tonight Show tonight. He said, why? I said, I got a little surprise for you. Well, sure enough, he gets into the show. Johnny Carson introduces Jerry Jeff. He sings Trashy Women. And my buddy gets a royalty check for thousands of dollars. And 6 months later, Confederate Railroad heard Jerry Jeff's version, and they recut it and made it real funky and got a number one hit song with Trashy Women. My buddy made a couple $100,000 in royalties. Jerry Jeff got famous for teaching them the song, and I'm playing your wife's birthday party.
Yeah, 60th birthday party with a bunch of old people, older people, not old people. They were a fun group. They really enjoyed it, and we had it out at the Eastwood Golf Course in Streeter, Illinois, and it was just a fun time. Brandon and Lily did a great job. You got to meet them, and
yeah, they got the Dairy Queen.
They got the Dairy Queen.
I'm probably going to hit that on the way out of town.
Yeah, that a boy. So, what's your favorite venue you've ever played at? Not the Merle Haggard, but somewhere that you've been.
The Crazy Horse.
Where's that at?
Orange County, California. Was by far my favorite because I would do an afternoon show. They had big stars playing there at night. I mean, Garth Brooks got his start there. It's just a really neat bar. And they wouldn't let me play in there except that my buddy talked them into letting us do that like a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon at 2 in the afternoon, 2 to 5. And when they moved and closed it up, I still held all-time bar record sales, even over Garth Brooks or anybody. Brooks and everybody played there, but I did the afternoon and I'd pack that place. And you never knew who was going to show up. One day I look out and here's Van Halen's bass player sitting out there. I mean, famous people would come see me. So it was kind of fun.
So when you say we played it, who was we? Did you have?
No, I was by myself.
Right.
I just did a single.
All right.
Well, I had a road crew back then. I could afford a road crew.
You had one. My son-in-law.
Yeah. Thank God for him. I'd still be moving.
Mitchell, yeah. He's a good boy. He's got a strong back, too. He's young. So, have you ever played, like, a cruise ship or anything?
I've been on several cruise ships, you know, on vacation, and they always have a talent night. And I usually hop up and do a song or two. But I haven't committed to going out and do it. You're kind of stuck out there for a week, which is not a bad place to be stuck, but you only do what one or two shows. And I probably will consider that at some point, maybe as I get a little older and don't want to move around so much. I still travel full time.
Yeah, you like to drive, you said.
Yeah, I'm on my way. I'm a truck driver with a guitar, basically.
So who if you had to say your top three artists that you like, that I mean, you said the Beatles got you going, but like who are three that you wish you were them, if there is three out there?
Oh, well, of course, I love the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. And of course, when I was growing up, I was listening to the Monkees and people like that. As I graduated, it got a little older. I got into like Led Zeppelin and more rock and roll stuff. But Willie Nelson's always been one of my gigantic heroes. I love Willie Nelson.
Your Willie Nelson skit or whatever you call it that you do, your Johnny Cash is phenomenal. I brought the whole 200 and whatever people in to watch that, you know, and they were all laughing and just making comments to me about how funny that was. And good.
Well, I used to do nice songs and I starved, and then I started doing impressions, impersonations of people and comedy stuff, you know, and stuff. Like, hey, if you'll reach over here and hold my nose, here, grab, hold my nose. Yeah, hold my nose. Watch this. Mama, I don't let the baby grow up to be a cowboy.
So you practice that at home in a mirror then, obviously.
Right. Did you wash your hands after you went to the bathroom?
I'm not holding your nose. No, I'm not going to do that. So what's your favorite song to play? Like last night, which one do you really get excited about playing?
Oh, I think Marie, which I didn't do last night because it was more of a bar crowd, but I wrote a song about my daughter called Marie, and that's probably my favorite song that I do.
And what's it say about your daughter, the song?
Well, it doesn't really go into detail about her situation, but
But she's your daughter. But what do you say? Just the love you have for her, or what?
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's what the song is geared after, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yep.
Are your eyes watering right now?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right.
No, it seems like you kind of. It's special to you.
Oh, it's very special song.
Good.
And she loves it when I sing it to her. So.
Oh, Good. You sing it on the road a lot then when you're driving, or do you get the guitar out and sit there? Or
no, I do it in my shows. You know, most of the places I play are more like listening rooms where you buy a ticket to sit down to listen. And so, you know, people come specifically.
What was ours last night? Was it a listening?
It's more like a train wreck. Well, it's a room for 200-something people that hadn't seen each other for a while. They're there to talk and party. I was the guy off in the corner that was bothering them. But I can bother the best of them.
No. Debbie and Paul were there last night. You talked to them a lot. They're from – well, they come from Arizona. Debbie was born in Streeter, but they're the ones that introduced.
They brought you to my show.
Yeah, they said, "Oh, you got to see this guy." And then actually, Dutch and Barb, another friend, they come from Springfield, Illinois. They were in Arizona that year too. And Mitchell's parents, who still are in Arizona, had come and seen you. We had about 12 of us. I remember it was at the Blind Pig, I think it was called, in Scottsdale, and that. So. You're almost 70 years old. You'll be 70 years old, correct?
In September, yep.
So what would a 70-year-old tell a 50-year-old Kip Attaway? What have you learned in them 20 years? What would you do different, I guess? Don't tell me drink more. You can't.
No. I'd tell them to get a real job. Get off the road.
Get off the road?
Well, you can't. Most of the bands are having trouble. You can't afford fuel. I mean, I just spent $800 getting out here and fuel. Just
what are you asking me for, more money?
Yeah. Hey, reach deep in them pockets, would you?
You still owe me 3 minutes. We're counting down here. We got 3 minutes left. So what? Let's go with what's a perfect day for you from morning till night? When you wake up, what would be the perfect day? I mean, what's it involve?
Well, the weather. Is always, I mean, when you live in Wyoming, the wind blows 99% of the time. And it snows there every, I've been snowed out on the 4th of July at a fireworks outside on the 4th of July in Jackson. It snowed so much we had to shut the place down. And they had to move the fireworks to the next day. It was so bad. So obviously a nice weather day when I get to my show and get loaded in and set up and play for a bunch of fun people, that's my perfect. I love performing. And I love meeting new people, and I love traveling, and I'm going to do it till I can't do it anymore.
Well, I've never really stopped and enjoyed a Wyoming or South Dakota or North Dakota or Montana or Idaho. And in Arizona, a lot of our friends are from the Dakotas and that area. So maybe me and the wife will take a trip this summer, and we'll maybe schedule around somewhere. Do you play in Jackson Hole at all anymore?
Not anymore. I'm kicked out for being politically incorrect, which right. I'm proud of that, actually.
Yeah, that happens in today's world. So where do you play, like in Casper, Wyoming?
Oh, yeah, I play Casper. Cody, Wyoming is still a great – it's like Jackson Hole 40 years ago.
Well, don't say it out loud because then it won't be. People will start going there.
Shh, don't tell anybody. Yeah, that's a great town.
So do you play Casper and Cody?
Oh, yeah, and Thermopolis. You ever heard of Thermopolis?
I have not.
It's the world's largest geothermal place on the planet. I'm pretty sure they claim that. And it's natural hot water there. It's close to Yellowstone, so it's probably the reason they have all that hot water. You know, Yellowstone's full of that. But it's not far from Yellowstone. It's called Thermopolis. And they have wonderful natural heated pools and a great little bar there and a hotel that I play at. So that's a lot of fun. And Chico Hot Springs. You ever been to Chico? You haven't been out there. Chico Hot Springs is in Montana. And there, you know,
Chico Hot Springs.
And it's another area just outside of Yellowstone. So I like to hit those hot tub places and sit in there all day and then go play in the bar at night.
Well, back to your daughter. You know, she's a beautiful person. It's outstanding that I can tell the love you have for her. You should. You know, you deal with the hand you're dealt, and I see the pictures, and I can tell she smiles when she's with you. And I'm gonna post some of the pictures that we put together or whatever, and between Fat Grandpa Facebook and the website and that. And thank you for coming to Streeter. And I want to know what your impression of Streeter, Illinois is.
Oh, it's a great regular America.
It is regular America.
I just drove around and looked around and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just It looks, it's America.
Yeah. And then that was Streeter last night. You seen it, how it is really. I mean, them type of people. And thank you. And thanks for being my guest today. And I'll see you this summer somewhere. I don't know where, but.
All righty. Thank you.